How you doing, sir? Long time no speak to.
Fantastic. What about you guys?
Oh, I'm right side up as a billiard ball, as my old man used to say.
And Paul, it's midnight where you're at right now?
Yes, midnight.
Midnight at the Paul Croson house.
You're a true man.
I can stay up till all hours.
We know he's a true man. He has three daughters.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
Yeah, right.
Oh, shit.
And you've been drinking, Mike. What are you drinking tonight? Let us know this.
I'm drinking Red Hook Pumpkin Porter.
Nice. Everything's pumpkin in the States, Paul. Once October rolls around, they go pumpkin crazy.
Right.
Yeah, it's retarded.
It is retarded. It really is.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's not even tasty. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I dig Halloween. I love Halloween. It's favorite holiday in the whole year. I think it's brilliant. But all the pumpkin stuff is just a bit shash.
It is. You know, I bought a 12-pack, and it's a variety 12-pack. And there is you get three different types of Red Hook beer in this 12-pack. And three of the 12 are not listed on the box. It's a varies. So it's a surprise.
Nice.
So you open it, and you may get a different brand. The surprise today was the pumpkin porter.
I see. So you're trying it out.
It's not bad. It's the first time I've had the Red Hook pumpkin ale. Not too bad.
Tonight's episode of Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid brought to you by Pumpkin Porter Ale.
And Red Hook Beer.
The Dr. Action Andy Sidaris Conversation Special.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid Commentary Podcast, minus the commentary. I am Dr. Action.
And I am the Kick-Ass Kid. And with us this week, taking the place of the third chair on one of our action specials, is the boob specialist trucker madman himself, Dr. Mike Murphy. How are you, sir?
I'd like to be called the Kung Fu Superman, please.
Yeah, that won't be happening.
Okay, I thought I might throw that out there. You guys got all these special cool names, and I'm just plain old Mike Murphy. I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're very good.
I'm all right.
And you are host and creator and curator of the Badasses, Boobs, and Body Counts podcast. Is that correct?
That would be absolutely correct. Thank you.
It's also a website, right?
Well, it is. I mean, do we really need a website if we have a show, you know? Yes, no.
But the reason why I bring up the website is it was my understanding that, was it a year ago, you reviewed all 12 Andy Sidaris films on your blog?
It was a little more than a year ago. Last summer of 2012, I did all 12 written reviews. That would be correct.
Yeah. You see, everything's working away up here, Mike. I've got stuff in my brain and it's connected. The synapses are firing and it's just falling out of my mouth like so much drivel.
You're still young. You have the memory.
Oh, well, I'm not sure about that. I had trouble the other day remembering, like, names of people I, you know, converse with on a regular basis. So
I will tell you about doing 12 films back-to-back times 12, you know, directed by Andy Sidaris, is everything bleeds together.
Sure.
And by the time I was at film number 6, it was like I was watching film number 1.
Yeah. Well, I've only watched 3 of his films, and already I've overdosed on boobs and banjos. I can't, like, at this point, if I never hear another banjo or look at another set again, I'll be happy.
And the remaining 9 are the same as the first 3.
Sure. So, yes, Doc, this is Andy Sidaris special, correct?
This is our Andy Sidaris special, yes. And very much so.
And this is, follows closely on the heels of our commentaries for Hard Ticket to Hawaii and what was the other one we did? Savage Beach, that was it.
Savage Beach.
Hard Ticket to Hawaii, the best film on the G-Strings movie collection.
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think it probably is.
I mean, ludicrous is all hell.
Sure.
But entertaining. You know, the entertainment factor's way up there.
Watching or attempting to watch the Malibu Express one today, and that's joyously painful to try and get through. Some wonderful porn stashes though.
Oh, absolutely. Darby Hinton is amazing in that film. He's young, he's got this thick upper lip, he's got the blonde hair, he's chiseled. He gets a lot of ass in that film.
Yeah, way too much.
Which is one of the reasons I love the film so much. out of the 12 films, Malibu Beach has the highest boob count. There's a total of 22 pairs, and there are a variety of different ones, large, full, robust to kind of flapjacky and saggy and test tubey.
Yeah, and there's possibly the weirdest looking maid in all of movie history.
The blonde you're referring to.
Well, it's a wig, but yes.
I think it's Snyder, actually.
It's quite clearly a wig. It looks like it could be carpeting that she picked up from a showroom and just knitted together. That's kind of what it looks like.
And one of the largest breasted women in that film, and she doesn't take her top off.
No, but they are spilling out of that little Halloween dirty maid's outfit that she's wearing. Yeah. So Paul, what's your, or Doc rather, I should say, what is your history with Sidaris?
I've not really seen one before. I saw Hard Ticket to Hawaii. It's not until I saw Mike going on about it on Facebook and
that you were like, Twitter. Please stop having, stop going on about it.
So yeah, I thought you guys got the DVD sets I sent you.
Yes. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah.
I didn't appreciate how mine was sticky, but I managed to wash it off and clean it up before I put it in there.
I thought I sent Paul the opened one, but I guess not.
No.
Mine was lovely. Yeah, I saw
it's
my
now all up. Sticky.
Now all sticky, yeah. Yeah, I've not. I had to buy another one because I used up all the goodness on the one that Mike sent me. So, but yeah, it's a good little box set, isn't it? Full of womanly action and womanly.
Look, I paid like $4.95 each for those.
Yeah,
you get 12 films.
It's a pretty good deal from our peeps over at Mill Creek.
Girls, guns, and G-strings. A pumped-up package of centerfold cinema. These lovely, leggy agents might be undercover, but never under-equipped. Bursting with babes, bombs, and bullets. Dominated by dames, danger, and dynamite. With punks, planes, and playmates. Spies, thighs, and, well, you get the idea. Mayhem never looked so good. How do you spell relief? T for tough guys, an A for action. And all in one incredible collection. Girls. Guns. And G-strings. On DVD now.
Yeah, it is a good deal, regardless of how good or bad the films are. And there are some clunkers in this set.
Yeah.
Well, Savage Beach being one of them. I'm sorry.
No, I agree.
The return to Savage Beach is atrocious. Well, Savage Beach, not too bad.
I mean, I think on IMDb, they reckon that Savage, or on the list, I found some list online. I've not looked it up now, but I found some list online about, like, how you would order them in list of 12. And I think that Hard Ticket is first, Malibu Express is second, and Savage Beach is third, but there's a big drop-off between Malibu Express and Savage Beach. And then the rest of them are all just listed as like half a star or something.
Yeah, that's not surprising. That's not surprising. You know, before these two films, I'm sorry, before these 12 films, Sidaris did have two other films, one called Stacy. It's never been released, not on DVD. I'm trying to find the other one here because my memory, as I drink more and more beer, becomes more worn out.
Do you mean the movie Seven?
Yes, Seven. Thank you.
I thought that was David Fincher, but I think Sidaris did a great work job at that.
He did. It's odd. There wasn't as many breasts in it as I would imagine, but I suppose, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, she's not as happy
top-heavy.
Yeah, someone like Sybil Danning. Sybil Danning's far more easygoing is the word I was looking for. Although Paltrow's done her fair share of nip slips.
Just not enough.
Well, for Mike's liking. Not enough for Mike to drive across country in his truck and dream of...
Yes, correct.
Dream of filthy Paltrow.
Because often I do that.
And her fluffy Paltrows. Sorry, you were going to say, Doc.
I can't remember what I was going to say. Gone. No, I didn't. I can't remember what I was going to say. You're talking about driving cross country and
I think he asked Paltrow's. When did you become familiar with Sidaris?
When you started speaking about him, I think that's what it is. I listened to your show about it as well. Yeah. I thought, oh, I wouldn't mind seeing those.
Breasts,
seen
you say?
yeah. What a breast.
And these films you only need to see once.
Hard Ticket I might put in again. But you're right.
The remaining 11, you only need to see once. I did sit down and watch Savage Beach last night. What a ridiculous film.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie. I mean, I think it was fine doing the couple of commentaries. I'm not sure we could have gone on because although obviously they sell it on like the guns, the girls and the G-strings or whatever it is, there's not a lot of action in any of them, really. I mean, Hard Ticket's probably got the most action in it. In terms of actually like running around, and Savage Beach has that whole what's meant to be like action-packed third act, and it's really dismal.
It falls flat.
It's dismally slow.
And it falls really flat at the end when the Japanese guy is dying on the beach and
yeah, bollock face like, is running around.
Yeah, all right. I'm gonna fast forward this and put something good in.
Yeah, although I did like when they got marooned on the island, their first instinct was just to take all their clothes off and run into the ocean.
Yeah, blokes wouldn't do that.
Even better, they land on an island, and she says, "Oh, look, water."
Yeah.
Duh.
I've only seen three of the films. Doc's only seen two of them.
Okay.
I've only ever seen two films in my life.
And
both of them starred Bruce Willis.
No, both of them starred Sybil Danning, I think.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
No, both of them starred, what's his name? Rodrigo Obregón.
He is absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's one word for him.
No Sidaris film would be the same without him.
Because Sidaris can't make a movie without him.
No, absolutely not.
No. I quite like Patty Duffick as well. But
And you know, during Hard Ticket to Hawaii, towards the end there, I'm thinking, when is this fucking guy going to die? Because he just... He becomes the Terminator.
Yeah.
Just keeps coming. But finally, yes, he does succumb to the puppety, plastic, rubbery snake.
Yes. But you would have to if confronted with that wondrous exhibition of special effects-dom.
Stan Winston was involved with that.
Either that or Rob Bottin, one or the other.
Yeah, Stan Winston consulted, I believe, on it.
And said no.
But Sidaris was a sports filmer or something, a filmer of sports or a documentary filmmaker of...
I believe so. I don't have the information in front of me, but I think he worked for CBS for many years.
I'm so glad we had you on here as the Sidaris expert.
Like I said, I'm fairly unprepared, and I am not an expert whatsoever, actually. Just because I like a film doesn't mean I'm an expert.
Oh.
Anyway, he did work, I think it was for CBS for many years, and he directed many a football game on the TV, of course.
And the 19th Summer Olympic Games.
That's correct. That's correct. It's kind of where he cut his teeth in TV and film. Well, I should say in TV. And then he obviously went on to do Stacy and Seven, and then decided to put his own money into the coffers to make his own films.
Put his money where his balls were.
In his pants. Yeah,
or in his wife's mouth, one or the other.
You got to respect him for that, for actually going out and using his own money and making something. Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, initially he did that, but I mean, after once, you know, the whole video scene came about and he was able to sell to the video market, that changed. I mean, he was obviously funded for the other films, so.
Yeah.
But it was a glorious era. I mean, obviously other indie filmmakers of the time are the same. It was a glorious era where as long as you had enough gore and enough tits, you could really get a movie out into the marketplace.
Oh, absolutely. And he had both those, you know, in handfuls. So especially the tits. I mean, you know, I said it earlier that Malibu Beach has the largest
Malibu Express
boot count. Well, I'm sorry, Malibu Express. There is a film called Malibu Beach I just watched recently. So
yeah.
It has the largest boot count of 22 in his films. But every one of his films predicated itself on the naked women.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a good thing. The explosions and the deaths and the shooting and the squibs, they were just all additions to the films. So,
but I mean, I think that's why Hard Ticket to Hawaii is the most, like, fondly known. It's because I think there's enough quirky stuff in there. Like, the script is specifically written to be quirky. There's plenty of breasts for people who want that, but there's also some, like, audacious kills and some ridiculous special effects.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's over the top.
I just don't know why he didn't continue with that formula, why his then next thing was to just kind of... I mean, he kind of does with Savage Beach, kind of, but then sort of shortly after that, he kind of gives up on that formula and it just continues to be drivel.
How many times can you do the same film and get away with it?
Well, 12. Yeah. Doc, right, you were going to say something, dude, and I interrupted.
Oh, I was going to say, well, he got Al Leon for Savage Beach. That must have been a huge coup.
Well, sure it was, and I think he used him in a couple of other films as well, including, I may be incorrect here, but I think he came back and was in Return to Savage Beach. In fact, I think... all the villains from Savage Beach get an appearance and return to Savage Beach.
Nice. Nice. Well, Al Leong is one of our favorites here on the show. He's just a go-to staple.
I mean, he's in a variety of different action films through the 80s and 90s, and why he wouldn't be a favorite would be beyond me. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the goatee, long, greasy hair. It's fabulous.
He's kind of like the Asian Eric Roberts. Meaning that he's very prolific, and he's been in everything from like A-list movies right down to, you know, filmed on a beach.
Down to the Andy Sidaris films.
Yeah, and he's also Julia Roberts' brother. I'm not a lot of people know.
What, Al Leong is?
Well, yeah. They look alike. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretty woman.
Yeah, he's got the pouty lips and the big hair, I suppose.
And he's been felt up by Richard Gere.
What?
And 17 more teeth than he should.
Haven't we all been felt up by Richard Gere at some point in our lives?
Oh, yes.
Excellent. So, Mike, where do you first... Let's talk to Mike now, specifically, and then we'll go back to Sidaris later. Where did you... like, what was your first action experience?
Oh,
film-wise.
Yeah, no, I got that. I was gonna.
I don't mean your second life that you have as a kind of trucker come detective come pussy hound.
Well, I'm a little bit older than you gentlemen, so it goes way back to the.
So I remember the general with Buster Keaton.
When the wheel was invented. You know, I would say I started really attaching myself to action films in the early to mid 70s.
With the
Dirty Harrys, the Clint Eastwood films.
And the cinema owners would come over and go, "Will you stop attaching yourself to these movies? We can't put it through the camera if you're going to, or the projector rather, if you're going to keep attaching yourself. Please stop that and go sit down in the seat provided."
Oh, you're funny.
Oh, aren't I funny? Yes, no, Dirty Harry movies. So that was the first one, you think?
Yeah, I would say, mid-70s when I first saw Dirty Harry, and then the sequels followed afterwards, of course. Just a variety of different late 70s action films into the 80s. The 80s was really the decade in which action films, I think, got the spotlight, you know, with guys like Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, exactly. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme, I don't think he's an action star of the 80s. I think he's an action star of the 90s.
I'd agree with that.
80s or 90s, that we specialize in both. That's our key area, is 80s or 90s.
Right. And then, you know, you have Steven Seagal, who kind of came in the
talking about me, Johnny. You're talking about me.
Greasy hamburger eating bastard that he is.
Hey, I won't be having bad words said about me. I'll set Johnny on you. I have to let you know, actually, Jean-Claude Van Damme started his rise to action stardom in 1986.
Okay.
With No Retreat, No Surrender.
Okay.
He didn't really make his mark till the 90s, though.
Doc, will you stop disagreeing with me, please?
No, I'm just saying, Doc,
be your own man and argue with your cohort there.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger started in the 60s.
No! I was two.
No, I know what you mean. But Steven Seagal, when was Above the Law? That was 88. So, and his second film, Hard to Kill,
was
90.
That's a true story. Above the Law is a true story, Johnny.
But I'd still say that Jean-Claude Van Damme made his mark in the 90s. But he did definitely rose to prominence in the 90s.
Well, it's like any action star of the 80s. I mean, Arnold started early doing his Pumping Iron films, all right?
Yo, it was like coming when I do my workout. It was like ejaculation. Yeah.
you sound like a cross between Schwarzenegger and Jesus Christ. What's that guy's name?
Yeah, I think you just said it, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I was thinking Christopher Walken myself, but... John's getting his impersonations all fucked up.
Christopher Walken, he's like this. He says, "Hello, Mike. Listen, you have to understand that what it is, when we say 80s, normally you'd think it would be 1980 to 1989, but no, it's wrong. Normally, a decade, they merge into each other. They blend. There's a blending, merging thing that goes on. And so, really, 80s action is more between 85 and 95. That's just how it is. That was the golden time. Mike, man, boo-boo, schooling you here."
Yeah. 80s and 90s didn't become action until McBain was made.
Yes!
McBain, is that what you said?
McBain with Christopher Walken.
Yes, yes.
I love that.
We're going to have to do that on the show one day.
I love it. McBain. I don't even like guns. Yet, there I was in a movie, Glickenhaus, screaming high-pitched voice, the little beady-eyed, scary fuck. And there I was. I'm going to stop doing this because this just goes on and on and on. But yeah, Seagal didn't start till 88.
Okay, well, actually, yeah, he started before that, but I think his popularity started towards the end of the 80s.
No, his first movie as a leading man was in
1988. Seven Samurai.
Yeah, but I mean, even the doc said he was in No Retreat, No Surrender in 86.
That's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who did you say? Seagal?
Seagal, yeah.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm going to get me another pumpkin porter ale.
Yeah, you need more alcohol, I think.
Oh, man, I do, yes.
But so now, 450 years later, do you feel more attached still to those – attached? Look at me. Even I'm saying it now. Do you feel more drawn towards the 70s, the French Connection, the Dirty Harry, that kind of movie in your heart? Or – when the 80s hit, did you suddenly like, yeah, mama, I'm home?
I would say, yeah, mama, I'm home. I mean, nice. 80s was the decade of excess.
It's when you came to full manhood.
Yes, exactly. It was when I got the measuring tape out and I realized that my penis was smaller than most, but I can make up for that by...
I've heard you're 12 inches long. Is that true?
No, it's not true. No, I'm a quarter inch short of that. So, you know, 80s was, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you just said it, or Christopher Walken just said it, between 85 and 95.
Yes.
That's the golden era of action films.
It's true.
Mind you, the late 60s and, you know, through the mid 70s was fantastic stuff. It's hard to compete with anything made in the 70s, whether it's good or bad, because it was a very unique decade in terms of filmmaking. But with guys like Schwarzenegger, Stallone, your boy there, the Karate Man, the Bruce Lee fan, the you know, from No Retreat, No Surrender, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Right. I mean, yes.
He's not a very good actor, but he's a lot of fun to watch.
See, I think he's improved considerably as an actor over the years. I think he's got better. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I mean this legitimately, I think he's only got better.
I'd agree after Expendables 2.
Well, he was terrific in that film. So you're saying he only got better after Expendables 2? Like
no, 2 years ago? I'm saying, I mean, I recently watched, what was it, Sudden Death.
Okay.
His Die Hard in an Ice Rink movie. And he's pretty good in that. I mean, in terms of acting and stunts and fighting and all that stuff.
I thought he was awesome in The King's Speech.
He's great in The King's Speech. Very small role. You don't really see him a lot of him, but where he is, he's fantastic. Lincoln, that was another prime role for him. He was one of the tables in Mary Todd's back room. And... What else was he in recently that was really good? Behind the Candelabra, that was it, or whatever that was called. He was in that as well as.
Look at me, I am Liberace.
I believe he played one of Liberace's highly studded spangly cod pieces. I may be wrong, but I believe that's what he was. And also, I wanted to point out this whole era of the 80s, 90s thing, because at the moment we do have a blog running on our website that is top 20 second-tier 80s and 90s action stars. We're on part two. There's 10 up there already, 10 more coming at you over the following week. Have you looked at those, Mike?
I looked at them briefly this morning, yes. And I've seen Eric Roberts was the name you're throwing around as well.
Eric Roberts is on there, Dudikoff. Michelle Yeoh, Carl Weathers is on there, my boy Rutger Hauer, Jeff...
Which is a fantastic choice.
Of course, because as I point out in the blog, I cannot help with this voice anymore. It's in me. It's like we're one. But no, seriously though, when I was writing the blog, the reason why Hauer is that he's known for all different types of performing, but in that, you know... quintessential period between 86 and like 95, he really does some action classics. I mean, you know, I'll put in Blind Fury every year because it's just such a good movie, you know what I mean?
What's most impressive about these lists that you guys are doing is Cynthia Rothrock.
Oh, yeah, Cynthia Rothrock, which we introduced you to, right?
Absolutely, and she's one of my favorites now.
Right, and what have you seen of the Rothrock?
Oh, just China O'Brien, nothing else. There's no reason to see anything else.
It's a good one.
It is. And did I, and after you watched it, did you go disgusted over a beer?
I went and rubbed one out.
Nice.
Over a beer. Oh,
Richard Norton will do that to you.
The funny thing, I'll let you in on a little secret, Mike, if you haven't discovered further. The interesting thing about Rothrock is that while on screen, she's obviously fairly innocent, moral, upstanding, proper, covered up, and so on.
Sure.
Google image her, and
I have.
It tells a whole other story.
I certainly have,
and there's plenty of places to see her naked in.
Right.
Or at least topless, anyway.
Not movies, though.
No.
No. But she wasn't shy behind closed doors and in front of some leering, perverted
certainly
80s
not, but
cameraman.
I do like the way they portrayed her in film.
Yeah, she's kind of the...
It works for the character.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So we've got, what have we else? We've got Gary Daniels, of course.
Yeah, you got Speakman and Daniels. These guys, they all had their time. Yeah, of course, he's a natural for this list.
Well, Williamson is forever. Williamson is eternal.
Absolutely.
There isn't really a bad period of Williamson. You can kind of just jump in and out of his film career.
Unless he's actually directing the film. But as far as starring in the film, there are no bad films.
What was great was that while I was doing the list, I came up with this great picture of him and Gary Busey on a golf cart. And
how come Gary Busey's not on the list? That's what I want to know.
The list isn't finished, sir. The list still has 10 more people to go.
Excellent.
But anyway, Gary Busey and him on a golf cart. So I Googled, like, what could be the movie that him and Gary Busey are in. They're in, like, 20 movies together.
Wow.
So we need to do some of those, Doc, is what I'm saying.
Oh,
well, that's the thing with the Williamson films. Not very good, but he put a lot of people to work.
Yeah, definitely.
Not the films that he's in, mind you. Obviously, he was a staple of the 70s blaxploitation era, but I'm referring to the later films where he directed and or produced. He kept a lot of those people working, you know, for paychecks.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely good.
You know, whether or not the films were good, and they usually weren't, you know, kept people employed.
Listen, he got original gangsters made with Our Lady of the Blessed Breast, Pam Grier, and and all Jim Brown and Richard Roundtree, and all those guys in it. Robert Forster, Wings Hauser, Charles Napier, Ron O'Neill. I mean, it's a movie that has Shaft, Superfly, The Hammer, Foxy Brown. I mean, all in one movie, you can't really go wrong.
The Expendables of blaxploitation.
And that's what they need to make.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they need... What I don't understand, Mike, Doc and I have spoken about this a lot, is that they've done The Expendables. Now, if they do, like, a shark movie or Pacific Rim or whatever, all these B-movie companies immediately start churning out, like, duplicates, like whatever, whether it's Roger Corman or whether it's...
You're referring to The Asylum more than anybody else.
Asylum or whatever.
Sure.
Why are they not doing... Like, there should be a female one.
I have
no idea. A blaxploitation one, a B-movie one.
It makes no sense to me because there's money to be made.
Right. And the money to be made is almost... The time to make that money is almost over because Expendables 1, huge hit. Then... Expendables 2 comes out, not so big a hit, but big enough to get a
third surprise.
One. Right.
Yeah.
Then the three leads, Statham, Schwarzenegger, and Stallone, do their releases this year. None of them are hits, even though they're all great movies. None of them were particular hits.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that after Last Stand was not the comeback Schwarzenegger wanted, he immediately signed on for Terminator 5.
Which is a shame, because it's such a great film.
It's the greatest. It's one of the greatest movies of this year.
Yeah, and although I did enjoy the Stallone action film, Bullet to the Head, not nearly as good as Schwarzenegger's comeback film.
Yeah, but he's signed on now for not only a zombie movie, which of course big business, but also Terminator, is it 5 now or 6?
Yeah, it's rumored to be in the 50s as well.
What, set in the 1950s?
If you can swallow that, the rumor is that the Terminator 5 is set in the 50s, correct?
Wow.
I have no idea where they'd go with that.
Did you hear about that, Doc?
I didn't hear about that. It's different.
There you go. You heard it first on the Doctor Action and Kick-Ass Kid commentary.
Do you mean...
Are you writing it, Mike?
I am not writing it. They want to be able to sell it, so I'm not writing it.
Does that mean Schwarzenegger's going to be doing, like, Bebopalula and going down to the local sock hop or something?
Or I have no idea.
Twisting it up in a diner.
Yeah. You're the one that they want.
You are the one that wants. Yeah! the one I need. Come here. Let me grab you. He's incredible. Why not Schwarzenegger in the 50s? That's what I say.
Why? This car's automatic. It's systematic. It's a hydromatic. Yeah, what? It's grease lightning.
Grease lightning.
Yeah, we'll get some overhead lifters on some 4-barrel quads. Oh, yeah. A fuel injection cutoff and some chrome-plated rods. Oh, yeah. With the fast speed on the floor, they'll be waiting at the door. You know it ain't no shit. We'll be getting lots of maid tit and grease lightning. Woohoo! Go, grease lightning, you're burning up the quarter mile. I said, go, grease lightning, you're close to do the heat lamp trial. You are supreme, the church will clean for grease lightning. And that's just the maid. We'll get some purple French tail lights. The maid likes them. Whoa, yeah. A Palomino dashboard and dual muffler twins. Oh, yeah. With no piston plugs and shocks, I can get off my locks. You know it, ain't no bragging. She's a real maid wagon. Grease lightning. Oh, yeah. Come with me if you want to live. Get to the chopper. I said, come with me if you want to live. Get to the chopper. I am the Terminator.
That's what we're waiting for, isn't it?
That's what I've been waiting for my whole life, Schwarzenegger in the 50s.
Can't wait.
Yeah. I hope he shakes a tail feather or does the twist or takes little Anne-Marie out to the high school prom or something.
I'm glad to see you guys have... Sho Noguzi on your list.
You mean Sho Kusugi?
I'm sorry, Kusugi. I'm sorry. Yes. It's the beer speaking. I'm glad to see he's made the list.
Of course. He was the go-to ninja in the in the prime 80s ninja craze. Although you see, back in the 80s when they had the video releasing, and I'm kind of waiting for like Netflix and Hulu and all this to sort of be this second wave. Because back when they had the ability to distribute cheaply on VHS, I mean, I've been collecting a lot of those reissues on DVD and stuff like that. They made, you know, once the ninja films were big, obviously they made like 500 ninja films. I mean, I put in the article that Godfrey Ho, prolific Chinese director of a lot of these, made no less than 45 films with the word ninja in the title in the 1980s alone.
Wow.
So that works out as 4.5 films a year. All called something ninja. And, you know, they churn these things out. The same with the Expendables type picture, the mercenary pictures. There are tons and tons of them. Once you have, like, the war, you know, you got war pics, like, you know, obviously Dirty Dozen, Inglourious Basterds, things like that. But then they kind of merge into these mercenary pics of the 80s, and there's, like, tons and tons of them. You know, and Williamson's in a bunch of those as well. And I don't know why they're not doing that again with either straight to Hulu or straight to Netflix or straight to Vimeo or whatever the fuck you want to do, you know.
I think it'll sell. War films will never stop being made anyway.
So, yeah, that's very true.
I just think
or not they'd be any good is a different story.
Yeah, they'll all still be made. They'll all still be made. What do we think about Schwarzenegger and Stallone coming up in Escape Plan? Do you think it's going to be a hit?
I think it's going to be a hit. It already has 7 out of 10 on IMDb from the Comic-Con screening alone.
I'd be willing to bet it's going to do badly in the box office because people are retarded.
I have a feeling...
That should be on the poster.
Yeah. I have a feeling, though, that this one might be a hit. It's coming out in the sleepier autumnal months.
Now, besides the Expendables, Have they appeared in the same film together in the past? I don't believe they have, correct?
No, this will be the first one where it's just them.
It's predominantly them as the lead male characters. Wow, that's going to be something to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be incredible. Look, in the trailer, but Arnie has a big gun and leaps off a helicopter, which I'm pretty sure explodes. So there doesn't really need to be anything else in the movie.
Don't you think this is kind of a Tango and Cash remake? Maybe?
Of course. It's Tango and Cash. It's,
I love it. Then I love it.
Yeah, of course. It's Tango and Cash. It's
Lock Up. I'll miss Kurt Russell, but I'll still love it.
Right. It's Lock Up. It's any one of those. And it's set in the future with plexiglass prisons that are impossible to break out of. Unless you have a big gun and an exploding helicopter and you're Arnold.
Lock Up meets Tango and Cash meets The Running Man.
Yeah. That's basically what it is. And look, it's coming out in the period where all the other studios are going, well yes, we must put out our Oscar favourites now. So we're just going to get...
That's what Schwarzenegger and Stallone are doing.
If there was an Oscar for how many big guns you could get into a movie, Schwarzenegger might win.
Oh, I think he'd have won every year since he's been starring in movies.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's going to be the best release, along with Machete Kills of the autumn period, I think.
I
would agree. I went to the theater today and I was just watching the Machete Kills preview, and I'm all, wow, this looks really good. I'm not a big fan of the first film. I didn't think it was that well done, but I get it, and it's a lot of fun to watch. I think Jessica Alba was kind of miscast in the film.
Mm.
I feel like the second movie is going to be more my type of thing.
I do too.
The second movie looks gleefully more like a kind of Planet Terror type vibe. The thing, which I love Planet Terror, my problem with Machete, the first one, was that I think I'd seen and liked the trailer so much for so long from the Grindhouse movie that all the other scenes felt really just kind of ham-fistedly slotted into place around the bits that we wanted to see from the trailer. Mm-hmm. And it didn't flow and wasn't as funny or as exciting as it could have been. But I think that with Machete Kills, it's going to be all hands on deck. It's going to be completely nuts, I think.
No, I would agree. I think my biggest issue with the first film is the fact that Jessica Alba was, I think, heavily miscast. I didn't care for her in that film. I know she's in the sequel. Oddly enough, my issue is not with Steven Seagal. I really enjoyed that greasy hamburger-eating fatty in that film.
Well, and he added another nationality to his string of...
He added another 100 pounds for the role.
That's his twin brother.
Because what's his nationality in it, Doc?
Portuguese, Spanish.
That's it.
Chilean.
Yeah.
Japanese.
All the things he's not. Because he's a half Jewish kid from Detroit, but he keeps going on and on like he's from fucking down south or Russia. He went to Russia recently and was like, yeah, Johnny, I'm Russian. My mom was Russian. My dad was Russian. Everybody was
Shalom,
Russian.
Shalom, Johnny.
Hey, do you want some gumbo? Oh, no, wait. That's when I'm in Louisiana. I'm not in Louisiana right now. I'm in Russia. So I got to pretend to be Russian. It's like, and then when he's like in the ghetto, he's like talking black to everybody. The guy is like he thinks that it's being PC of him to like blend in with other ethnicities rather than it actually being enormously offensive that this big sweaty white guy is doing a down south African American accent.
Do you think when he rings up for like a Chinese, he goes, oh, I want beef curry, chicken chow mein, and rice, please?
He goes, don't worry, Johnny, I'll call up. I can speak fluent Chinese. And he calls up and goes, fried lice. I said, I want some fried lice. See, Johnny, I told you I speak Chinese like a native. I think that's what he does.
He's a lovable character regardless of what he's in.
What's so
he's
funny
completely enjoyable to watch.
Oh, yeah, completely. He's amazing. The belief that he has in his own nonsense is an inspiration.
And when you watch him, you just kind of... you just kind of have to put the your brain on pause, seriously, and just enjoy what he's doing, regardless of how good or bad it is. And it's usually bad.
Yeah. We actually have a special guest coming up around the release of Machete Kills. This isn't a joke. This is true.
Oh, I believe you.
I have a very special guest on both here and the diner who will talk about Machete Kills. But more importantly, we'll talk about Steven Seagal. Which it has some pretty phenomenal things to say about our man Seagal. And not a moment too soon, because Kelly LeBrock is about to besmirch his good name by releasing her long-awaited autobiography that we've all been...
It's going to be very interesting.
We've all been on tenterhooks just waiting for Kelly LeBrock to write a book.
So she's still alive, huh?
Yeah, Doc and I have been sat around for years.
Not for long.
Yeah, not for long. I used to be in the CIA, Johnny. Someone write a negative word about me, they don't turn up for breakfast the next day.
Imagine if she confirms everything that he says. Yeah, it's all true.
You guys would shit your pants.
I would love it. I think it would be amazing.
He is Jewish, Russian, Chinese, Japanese, Cajun. Chilean, Spanish. He was in the CIA. The FBI.
He is 118th African-American.
KFC. he got 5 golden stars when he worked at McDonald's. He knows jiu-jitsu, taekwondo. He doesn't know aikido, karate, and he wants a fucking elephant.
Routinely eats an elephant, I think, or a moose whole. No, she's about to write her book. But so we have a special guest. So people can listen out if you're a fan of Machete Kills. And in fact, if you're a fan of the last 30 years of cinema, that's right, people, we have a guest, 30 years of cinema in the making.
So he's at least 30 years old.
That's not a word of a lie. He will be on the show and on the After Movie Diner very soon. Very soon. When does Machete Kills get released? October 10th?
14th?
I've got the, I think 11th I've got.
October 11th, yeah, you're right. So,
nice.
Yes, around about the 11th. Well, that'll be a Friday. So probably the Monday after it comes out. Or maybe the Thursday before. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But there will be a special guest on both Dr. Action and the After Movie Diner, which I was
very exciting.
Between you and me, Mike, it is awesomely exciting.
I don't doubt it for one second.
I can't even bear to think about the excitement that everyone's going to feel.
After that, it's Machete Kills again in space.
That's awesome.
Are they doing a third one?
Machete gets an upgrade.
Is that true?
In space, yeah, if you look on IMDb.
Yeah, that's accurate.
believe it.
I like that he cast Seagal in the first one. I wish the Seagal was somehow in the second one as well.
He'd probably knocking on Robert Rodriguez's door saying, yeah, why don't I play a twin brother like Jean-Claude Van Damme?
See, I wish they were bringing Jean-Claude Van Damme back for Expendables 3 as a twin brother to Villain. It could be Alan Villain or something, or Eric Villain or something.
And yeah. they're currently shooting that film, correct?
They are in Bulgaria as we speak. And Kelsey Grammer has joined the Expendables.
Yeah, so I heard. That's ridiculous. But yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Like I said, what was it that I rattled off last week, Doc? A whole long list of people. Wait a minute.
The films.
You know, when they announced Mel Gibson as the villain, I thought to myself, "Oh, you got to be fucking kidding me!" But when I really sit back and think about it, he's the perfect villain.
Oh yeah, that's going to be great.
People already hate him.
But as I said,
so why not embrace that hatred and spend the rest of your career playing villains like this?
Of course.
I think Mel Gibson looks perfect in Machete Kills as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But as I wrote on the blog last week, I said, Kelsey Grammer, really? Are you telling me that Steven Seagal, Kurt Russell, Roddy Piper, Jeff Speakman, Jeff Wincott, Billy Blanks, Pam Grier, Sigourney Weaver, Nick Nolte, Eddie Murphy, Danny Glover, Carl Weathers, Sho Kosugi, Gene Hackman, Timothy Dalton, Roger Moore, Don the Dragon Wilson, Fred Williamson, Liam Neeson, and even Grammer's old Cheers colleague Woody Harrelson were all busy? That's ridiculous.
And Pee Wee Herman was busy as well. Paul Rudd just couldn't do it.
I'm just saying, considering that when Expendables 3 was first mentioned, the internet was going mental with, oh, Stallone, you should cast this. Like, his Twitter feed just blew up with, you should cast this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy.
I get what you're saying, but I'm going to reserve judgment until I see the film.
Oh, no, no.
I
think in Kelsey Stallone,
Grammer
we trust.
Will probably, exactly. That was going to be my point. I think Kelsey Grammer will surprise the shit out of all of us.
He was the beast in X-Men. So, like, what are you going to do, man? I mean, that surprised me as well. So, and is he back in the new X-Men?
I didn't know there was a new X-Men.
Oh, okay. You don't care about this.
No, I care about it, but I just didn't know there was a new one.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, I don't care as much as you do.
No. Doc, did you want to say something? Sorry, dude.
No, I know the young lad's playing the beast again, but whether... I'm just having a look on his page now.
Because it's future past or something, Mike, and they're going to have the old ones and the young ones together.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So,
no, he's not back.
He's not back. Correctly. So most likely, because is...
Jennifer Lawrence is back.
No, I know Jennifer Lawrence is back, but is the older one back?
Judi Dench.
No, Rebecca Minji. Is she back?
Is the Minge back?
Have another pumpkin porter, John.
Is she back? Let me guess. I'm guaranteeing Wolverine is in it because you can't make an X-Men movie without him in it.
No, he's the one who goes back in time. He's the one who ties it all together.
Of course he is. And then you've got the British lovies. You've got Patrick Stewart and Gandalf are coming back.
He's not even down. Has the new X-Men film even got a page yet? Wolverine's not even listed.
He's going to be in it. He's in
all of them. Oh, no, he is. He's listed.
They fucking crowbarred him into the last one.
I love the fact they got Peter Dinklage in this film.
In what? The Days of Future Past?
Yes.
Oh, you've got to have Dinklage in everything. A movie's not a movie without Dinklage in these days.
Not anymore, it's not.
I think that... Do you think that when Dinklage was on set, that Fassbender pulled out his mighty weapon... And measured it against Dinklage's face.
Yeah, very possible.
Yeah. And Ellen Page is back as well. Yeah. So she's one from the original group.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
And Paquin.
Oh, fuck. I hate Paquin.
Oh, fucking hell. Barry's back as well.
Halle Berry's back. Oh, great.
Yeah, I don't care for her myself.
I've really missed Barry and Paquin from the X-Men franchise.
Couple of fucking loonies right there.
I was sat at home going, fuck, I don't want them to make another X-Men unless they have fucking Barry and Paquin in it, my favourite double act. I don't watch a film unless Barry or Paquin show up and stink the fucking film out with their rubbishness. They really are a pair of fucking useless...
Let's say Wolverine stabs him first thing.
let's hope they turn evil. And by killing them, Famke Janssen comes back to life and we can actually watch a decent female X-Men again. And I quite like the fact that at no point no political correct feminist group has gone, I think it should be X-person, actually. I'm so glad about that. Let's do this X-Men and let's make it X-person.
Yeah, I won't go and see it. I won't go and see it until you change it.
Good. Never change it, then, because we don't want your kind here in the cinema. We are so off topic, it's glorious. let's, Doc, ask Mike something.
when did you first get interested in Andy Sidaris films, Mike?
I don't know if interested is the right word to use there, but I first caught a lot of his stuff in the early 90s before he was through making films. You know, through a video, of course. So, yeah. And in fact, I'd have to say I probably didn't see his last six films until this Girls, Guns, and G-Strings set came out.
And were you as big a masturbator back then as you are today, sir?
Oh, no, I'm more of a masturbator now. As you get older, you become more of a masturbator.
Nice.
Yeah, so something you guys can certainly look forward to.
If I wasn't recording right now,
my wife and my kids out of the house, I'd probably be rubbing one out.
Nice. Yeah.
But I'm recording.
You're 73, right? That's correct?
No, correct.
Okay, good.
jackass.
Still trucking, though. Still trucking.
That man's got to make a living. Come on.
Doesn't look a day over 69, people. I've seen the pictures.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
Chris Taylor on the blog, on the website, on the Facebook page would be more accurate to say, has these searing, insightful questions. He says, look forward to hearing it. One, do you think that movies of the caliber of Hard Ticket could be made today with the PC Brigade all over the movie industry? Filthy fuckers. Mike.
Yes. Yes. I do, on an independent level only.
Yes.
Which, you know, it was an independent film anyway. So, yeah, I do on an independent level only, not a studio level. Studios suck. So you can't get shit made anymore.
But kind of Winorski's still out there plugging away, putting tits and things, right?
Yeah, all independent, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that the problem is now, to answer the question seriously, I think the problem is now with folks like Winorski, who's a gentleman and a scholar and a fantastic guy. But I think the problem is that a lot of the movies he does is for, like, Skinamax or whatever, and therefore he's forced to put more tits in it and less yes. story than he yeah. would necessarily like.
Well, that's what he's being paid to do.
Of course.
So making a film without that is more difficult to do because there's a lot less interest in it.
Right, exactly.
Unfortunately. So, at least for his audience.
Right. But I'm just saying that it would be nice if... I think if anyone could do the new Sidaris-type films, it would be Winorski, but it would take something like Skinamax to go... Okay, well, we'll put up with only having two sex scenes in this rather than eight, and then we'll have some scenes with some guns and violence as well. They haven't quite yes. got there yet, but they might yeah. do. Winorski would be the man to watch, I think. What do you reckon, Doc?
I'd agree.
The Doc is being so quiet today, I feel bad, like I'm...
He's sleeping.
He's asleep. I won't wake him up then. It's midnight where he is, and he's probably been at it all day like a filthy pony.
It's yeah, five.
Mike's right. I've been masturbating all day.
Yeah. See, I knew. I, you know what? It helps to admit it.
It does. Together in this private place. So, question two: of the three movies you mentioned, which is your top pick?
Which films did you mention again?
Malibu Beach, Savage Express, and Hard Ticket to Benidorm.
For me, it's Hard Ticket number one, Malibu Express number two, and Picasso Trigger number three. I know you didn't mention that, but those are my top three Sidaris films. But pertaining to his question, obviously Savage Beach would come in number three.
Nice. Doc?
Hard Ticket to Hawaii, Savage Beach. That's the 80 I've watched. I'm going to watch Picasso Trigger next, though, on nice. Mike's recommendation.
And I believe you'll see a very qualified actor in Eric Estrada in that one, I think.
And I believe Picasso Trigger is the name of your brony handle on My Little Pony websites. Is that correct, Mike?
Shh, shh.
Oh, okay.
Quiet. Let's not bring that up.
I think Picasso Trigger has the Cherokee guy from Charlie O'Brien in it.
Oh, very cool, very cool. And
see, you thought I fell asleep.
And Mike,
your
brony avatar. Now, does that have rainbow hair, pink hair? What or does it have sparkles on it? What's your brony look like?
My avatar is currently not of any type of brony. It is from a film called Never Too Young to Die. Thank you.
Right, no, but I was talking about your brony handle on
Brony. Oh, yeah, and I'm just completely trying to ignore that.
Okay, fair enough. That's fine. I know that every July the 3rd, which is for people who are fans of My Little Pony, is like the sacred day. I know that you bleach your beard rainbow colors. I know that happens.
Is July the 3rd a significant day?
No,
seriously?
I'm just making that I have no idea, but I'm hoping that any Brody
even I was
to this.
Wondering that. I thought, where do you get that information from?
Now we know who the real Brony is.
I hope the Brody's listening to it. Suddenly goes July the 3rd. Oh, wait a minute, I must look that up.
I could dye my beard multicolors. I mean, I have a white beard. Okay, so there I said it. My beard is quite white.
Yeah, well, you don't look a day over 69, like I said.
No, exactly. So yeah, it would look good in bright pinks and greens and yellows and reds and blues. But
like,
you know,
a pony's tail.
Sure. But I think I'd have a hard time walking around the public that way.
True. I just haven't recorded with you for so long, Mike. I have to rib you about it.
Oh,
somehow.
That's okay. I don't mind.
So third question from wonderful Chris Taylor, who maintains our website, and I really just think, Doc, we
so
should...
that's three questions from Chris Taylor?
Yeah.
Didn't this guy have a fucking life?
Well, he loves our show and loves our Facebook page. And
gotcha.
Every
so that,
day...
That's his life.
But the guy's wonderful. Every day he puts at least two or three posts up. He tells us what action movies are on UK TV channels, which is fantastic. He posts articles about various different action things. He posted the most disturbing picture of Dolph Lundgren and Grace Jones I've never been able to unsee. He posted Jason Statham as a Jedi. I mean,
he's the kind of guy you want in your corner.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I feel like,
you know, all joking aside, that's a good guy. You may have to bring him into the show somehow.
Well, he is going to be on a later episode. We're going to have him just in a cage in the background.
Okay, we should put him in a gorilla suit as well.
Sure, and we're just going to throw bananas at him and maybe occasionally some soup. But he's going to be part of the show, just not – we'll know he's there. You know what I mean?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important.
So lastly, he writes, as a random one, Superfly's Priest or the Max Goldie – which is the most iconic for you three guys? Thanks for the shows. P.S. Priest is the coolest, most Superfly for me.
I would agree with that.
You're going for the Priest. What about you, Doc?
I don't even understand the question.
Doc, just say Andy Sidaris.
That's the one.
You explain the question, Mike.
No, I can't.
Okay.
Difference between me and Doc is I try to make it sound as though I know what he's talking about.
Right.
Whereas he just says, what the fuck does that mean?
The Doc is honest to a fault.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to say, just to be different to you, Mike, the Max Goldie. But really, I prefer the Priest.
Okay.
But ultimately, I'm with Doc. I've seen the movie Superfly.
Superfly the film. I've seen that.
Yeah, so have I.
So since you've seen it, that's the default.
Right.
Yeah.
I've seen Superfly. I'm going to go for Superfly. If he means Priest, does he mean the Paul Bettany one? Or does he mean Priest, the film starring Robert Carlyle that was done in the 90s with...
No, I think he's saying that because the character in the movie Superfly is Youngblood Priest.
Oh, right, okay.
But now we're just speculating because he wasn't thorough enough with his question.
I think he's asking a blaxploitation question.
Okay. Yes, Fred Williamson's very good.
Yeah, and the Mac is obviously the 1973 movie with Richard Pryor, Max Julian
and
in it.
And Bernie Mac.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, he's not in it, I don't think. No, because it's from 1973.
I have seen that.
And Max Julien plays Goldie, and he's just asking who is more hip, I think.
Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the Doc goes for Goldie Hawn, and I go for Paul Bettany's Priest.
I love me some Bird on a Wire.
Oh, my God. Bring it back around to the evil villain.
Yes, indeed. So do we have anything more to say on Sidaris? I don't want to shortchange the Sidaris fans out there.
He likes tits.
He does. He likes tits. He likes radio-controlled exploding vehicles. He likes exploding helicopters. The man is into a lot of different things.
I think his dialogue's fantastic, especially when he says, you tried to rape me last night, but that was last night.
Yeah, that was last night. Don't worry about it today.
I've got the best seat in the house. Oh, yes? Where's that? On my face, baby.
The other great bit is in, and you'll see this when you watch it, in Malibu Express, when she's like, because she's having an affair with the chauffeur or whatever. And
Shane, the chauffeur.
The chauffeur, who's hilarious.
But he's fantastic in the film. He's such a scumbag.
She says, "What did you do in prison?" They've just had sex with her. She's like, "What did you do in prison?" He went, "Oh, I ate a lot of furniture." And I'm thinking, and then he like grins and winks at her and walks out. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, did he just kind of go, "Yeah, I was raped a lot in prison and I was fine with it"?
I enjoyed it. Why not? While you're there. When in Rome.
Yeah, when in Rome, just eat a lot of furniture.
Get bombed a lot.
Yeah, that's what he says. It's true. It's completely true. My other favorite line is, you're really a horse shit at showing emotion, but don't worry, I like that in a man.
The dialogue of these films is just completely ludicrous and funny at the same time. This is one reason why when you sit down, you got to turn your brain off and just kind of enjoy what's on the screen.
Like that scene in Savage Beach where the entire weapon cock metaphor thing goes on. Goes on for like a whole scene.
When they're standing next to the plane, correct.
Yeah. Where he's like, I have this enormous weapon. She's like, "Ooh, it is very nice. Let me touch it and stroke it." And then he's like, "It'll fire all over you, baby," or whatever.
It's not the size that matters.
Oh, that's it. Yeah,
it's how it fires.
Well, you watched it last night. I watched it a week ago. I can't be expected to memorize it.
There's this Japanese guy. He's been trapped on this island for 40 years.
Bollock face, his name.
And he looks like Boris Karloff, wrapped as the mummy, but he has a nicely trimmed haircut and not one goddamn speck of hair on his face.
He looks like a testicle is what he looks like. He looks like a testicle member of the bootleg Beatles.
No comment. I haven't seen any testicles lately, so. Including my own.
Is that because of the gut, or is that because you had them removed?
Both.
Okay.
I always cover mine.
I'm confused by everything at the moment. Doc, what's your favorite scene in all of the Sidaris you've seen?
I like it when she takes the pineapple and she just pulls the top off and there's drugs in it. I think that
in a zip-tie bag. It's funny.
Yeah, I think that's cunning to a T.
My favorite line is in that scene where she's like, "Oh, I've got my badge or whatever." And he's like, "Oh, that's interesting. I've got a shotgun."
I know you guys haven't seen any of the later films, but I would urge you to see anything that Shay Marks is in because she's just stunningly gorgeous and well worth watching, even though the films are shit.
Is that your favorite girl from all the stars?
I would say she's my favorite Sidaris girl, Shay Marks. Yeah, she is just stunning. Yeah.
My favorite woman's Lin Shay. Have you seen her? She was in There's Something About Mary, the old woman.
I just don't feel well all of a sudden.
There's actually a family in Malibu Express, Doc, called the Buffingtons, and it's Bobo Buffington, Doreen Buffington, and P.L. Buffington. And Doreen Buffington is played by Busty O'Shea.
Oh, nice name.
Yeah. There's also a woman called June Knockers, but it's spelt with an H.
June Knockers.
Yeah. She's a bit all right.
What film's that? Malibu Express?
Yeah.
It's got a good poster, is Malibu Express. June Knockers.
But my favourite actress in all of them is Kimberly MacArthur.
Which one's she?
She's only in Malibu Express, but she was in
Slumber Party
Massacre 2.
Fuck that up. She was in Young Doctors in Love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, she's dead now.
She was in Playmate Playoffs.
Ooh. Sounds good.
I just used the restroom.
Were you listening to us?
I used the restroom. I grabbed another pumpkin porter, and the family is officially home.
Oh, okay. So you need to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. And that was it this week for... No,
Well, we were talking about the beautiful women of Andy Sidaris. One thing about Sidaris, regardless of how good or bad his films are, the women are all very beautiful because he uses ex-Playboy and penthouse models.
Yeah.
So you can't go wrong there.
My favorite is Kimberly MacArthur. She only has a small role as one of the women from the boat next door in Malibu Express, but she also appears in Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Oh, that's right. That's correct. In Malibu Express, she's in the shower with another woman, of course.
She is, yes.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
In fact, both of those women are very nice. Both of the, Faye and, what's the other one's name? Faye and May. Barbara Edwards is the other one.
And old Darby Hinton there is so busy on the phone that he doesn't have time for him, sadly.
No.
But then again, we've already come to the conclusion that he gets laid as often as he wishes.
Well, there's a whole montage in Malibu Express where he goes out with her ladyship, the Contessa Luciano, they have shrimp. He's had sex in the afternoon with the woman on the racetrack. Then he goes out and has shrimp, and then he has sex with the Contessa at the very end of the night. And I'm just thinking his mustache must smell like
not very good.
And low tide.
Let's not forget about the topless car dealer in the middle of the desert.
Right, but that's not the same day that he...
It doesn't matter. A topless car dealer in the middle of a desert?
Yeah. Well, that's
you got to give Andy Sidaris credit.
He said, I want the fastest thing on this lot. And she's like, I'm the fastest thing on this lot, honey. Yeah. That's a good scene.
I don't know if it's good or not, but it's there.
What are your favorite? Okay, top five Sidaris moments, Mike.
I think number one would have to be from Hard Ticket to Hawaii. The 40-year-old skateboarder getting blown up by the rocket launcher.
Yeah, that's a good one. I prefer the razor blade frisbee, personally.
That's a good one as well. That's a good one as well. Anytime the snake makes an appearance, I would say number two would be the battle between our favorite Hispanic actor Rodrigo Obregon. He battles with the snake at the end and finally dies. That's number two for me.
Yeah.
And really number three, four, and five could be a variety of any moments in any of Sidaris's films because again, these films start to blend and it's difficult to remember what scenes are from what movies. I mean, after maybe four or five films, you only remember the people in the films. You know, Mr. Miyagi. Jeez, I can't remember his name for some reason. Pat Morita. He's, I think, in Do or Die. And then you got the Chips officer. What the fuck's his name?
Eric Estrada.
Eric Estrada. You only start remembering the people in the films, but you don't necessarily remember the films that they were in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think Hard Ticket to Hawaii, it's not quite up there with Samurai Cop, but it's sort of in that ballpark. It's got more than just the, you know, breasts going for it kind of thing.
Yeah, there are moments in the film that are memorable other than the nudity, correct?
Right. I think my favorite moment was probably realizing that the woman behind the counter was a man. And feeling ashamed at how much I'd whacked off to them.
Oh, what, too much information there.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite moment. Doc, you?
My favorite moment was when you tweeted me while you watched it going, there's something really wrong.
Yeah. I actually Skyped you and I was crying. That was the worst thing.
I just touched myself when it's a man.
Yeah.
That's funny. But you didn't know. Come on.
I sent Mike a picture.
And here's the question I'll pose to you guys. If you meet a really hot woman in a bar and you take her home and you get all hot and heavy and you take her panties off and find out she's a man, do you continue?
No, I would probably be able to tell.
Especially if she's got a beard.
Yeah.
At the 5 o'clock shadow.
There is a disturbing reveal in a drag club in Malibu Express where there is a drag queen dressed up in like an Arabian veil thing mm-hmm. and pulls the veil back to discover this goatee beard. Oh, it's like, it's just disturbing. It's like Kenny Everett. You probably don't know who Kenny Everett is, Mike, but...
No, I don't.
He was a bearded comedian in the UK, and he would sometimes do a comedy drag character, but, you know, would have big fake tits and big blonde hair, but this beard, he would never shave his beard, obviously, to play the character.
That's funny.
Yeah, it reminded me of that.
It'll be on YouTube, old Kenny Everett.
Yeah, Kenny Everett. He used to do a character, Mike, it was very subtle, but she was called Cupid Stunt, and she was like an old Hollywood actress. And this was on, like, family TV. This was, like...
Prime time
family TV, and she was a character called Cupid Stunt.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's British television in the 80s and 70s for you. Before they, you know, before the BBC had fucking standards.
Before they got their hands on it.
No, before they had political correctness standards and practices.
Okay.
And morals.
What was really, really funny about it was in the 80s, there was actually a big group, this big moral majority group led by Mrs. Whitehouse and the whole fucking religious group of the light and blah, 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 blah. And we're going to censor this and censor that. And this is whatever. And they lost all the they never won a case ever. It was like all the movies got released and all the TV shows and everything. And the 80s were awash with violence and tits and, you know, swear words and whatever. And then, like, the 90s to the 2000s, where there was no opposition whatsoever, all of a sudden things got really, like, politically correct and sterile, even though no one was really objecting at that point. I don't understand.
I'm looking at an interesting list on the IMDb, most problematic filmmakers, yeah. And Andy Sidaris is listed as number one, right? Above Uwe Boll.
No, you see, I don't agree with that.
I don't either. It says, incapable of creating titillation or excitement in already intentionally lame B-movies, this man shows what else you can do on a near zero budget level. Yet, I'll gladly bet you that, a nice English this guy has here, that he could have all the money in the world that Michael Bay has and still deliver the same type of excitement or excrement. And I don't agree with that either.
No, because I have to say, one of the things I want to say about Sidaris movies is they don't look half bad. They look all right. They look pretty good.
Yeah, they're well produced. Another thing I like about Sidaris was you can watch any one of his films and there's a lot of subtext. There's a lot of subplots in these films. And you kind of wonder, where is all of this going? Because it's not adding up, but he knew how to wrap a film up and he tied all those loose ends up very nicely.
Yeah. I agree. There was definitely like, I think anyone watching them for more than entertainment, anyone watching them for some like higher purpose probably will be disappointed.
Yeah.
I think that's why the doc's so quiet today, because he was watching them hoping to learn something about the deep mysteries of life. Isn't that right, Doc?
I thought I'd learn the meaning of life.
Roland Emmerich makes his list at number 10, M. Night Shyamalan at 11. I kind of agree with that.
I don't agree with Roland Emmerich. I mean, Roland
No,
Emmerich
I don't Shyamalan. Agree with Emmerich, but I agree with Shyamalan.
Oh, yeah, Shyamalan. Yeah, definitely.
Zack Snyder makes the list.
Good, because he's terrible. Hack Snyder. Rob
Cohen makes the list.
Don't know who he is.
I don't either.
Fast and Furious 1.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, well, no, he shouldn't be on the list.
And a few others that...
The guy who did Fast and Furious 2 should be on the list, but not 1.
I'm fucked.
Yeah, Mark Neveldine makes it, which he should. Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. I know you like that, John. I actually... That's not a bad film, actually.
It's not a bad film. I don't know how Mark Neveldine makes it, because they've done some really good... Crank 1, Crank 2.
He made it for that. For the Spirit of Vengeance. And that's very much a crankish type of films.
The worst directors of all time? Most problematic.
The most problematic directors.
The worst directors of all time has a list of 284 people on it. So that's just all the directors there.
The most problematic filmmakers. Yeah. Nick Cage is actually on this list, which is kind of odd. I don't think he's a filmmaker.
No. Well, so anyway. The cinematographer for Speed.
Jan de Bon.
No, Andre Bartkowiak.
And Sofia Coppola's on this.
Yeah, I don't agree with almost any of this stuff. Dennis Dugan's on here? Come on.
Sofia Coppola's gotten better looking as she's gotten older.
So's Francis.
Oh, the doc will like this. Lars von Trier is on there.
No, oh, what a cunt. I really can't stand that bloke.
Now, this guy I agree with, Aren Pelli, the guy who produced the Paranormal Activity movie.
How could Claudio Fragasso be on this list? He's
How could Duncan Jones be on this list?
Graydon Clark be on this list? I don't agree with this list. Coleman Francis, I agree with.
I don't. How can the guy who made Moon and that great Source one with Gyllenhaal? What was it called?
Source Code.
Yeah, they were both really good movies.
Eli Roth is on this list.
Well, that's fine. I don't even know how that guy has a career. I don't. How does he have a career?
He knows the boy genius.
Well,
that's how he has a career.
I know. But... Mike, do you see why I roped Doc into being a podcaster? He's got the wit.
He doesn't say much, but when he does, it's gold.
Yes. But this will go up. It'll be a little bit into October, but this was basically meant to be our last of the Sidaris month, and then we will I don't know, we're going to do kind of fantasy horror action for October, maybe. We're definitely doing Drive, right, Doc?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
No, I have not seen it, but I would like to.
Okay. Mark Dacascos in Drive. Mike?
I don't like him as an actor or as a person, but I've heard a lot of good things about Drive.
I would strongly, strongly, strongly suggest you watch it. In fact, I can send you a copy if you don't have it.
Oh, no, you don't. Yeah, I have access to it, so.
Okay, but get the director's cut. Don't watch the American original. Get the uncut director's version.
Okay.
And don't worry about Dacascos. He's great in the movie.
Oh, excellent.
Why don't you like him personally? What's he ever done to you?
No, he hasn't.
Tell us the truth, Mike. Did you pick him up once in your cab and there was issues?
You've watched way too many 70s trucker movies, and those are all full of shit.
Right.
So, no, I've never picked him up in my cab. Not yet, anyway. It's not a personal thing. It's just not somebody I care for, I guess. I don't go out of my way to find films that he's associated with.
Oh, somebody you care for doesn't like him?
No, I don't like him.
Oh, okay.
No reason. I just, you know, some people rub you the wrong way.
Okay, fair enough. I like to rub you the wrong way, but you asked me to.
Well, that's different.
You said that doing that is the way that you can get off the quickest.
Yeah, and we could be friends that way, too.
do you have anything else, Doc, to ask Mike? Doc, are you still there?
That I could lie about.
I'm just thinking of it. Who would you like to be rubbed the wrong way by?
From an Andy Sidaris film?
No.
Go on, then.
We'll bring it back around to the episode. I would have to say Shay Marks.
I'd have said Erica Estrada.
He'd be a close second. Maybe Shay Marks while he watches.
Yeah, I like it. He's got a lovely pair of chips.
Danny Trejo is also featured in one of the Sidaris films, so he could watch as well.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Is that pre-prison Trejo?
No, it's immediately after prison.
Oh, okay.
That's where they got the idea for all the what you're saying about with his being in prison.
Oh, biting the furniture. I don't know that you would even attempt to go near Trejo in a rough Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, I don't either.
Type way.
I don't either. I think he was the guy making those attempts.
Okay, so let's wrap this up anyway. Let's say a big thank you to Mike.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for putting up with me for the last hour. I appreciate it. It's always a joy to talk with the both of you.
It's always a joy to talk to you, too. So pimp all your stuff.
Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome, Doc. I appreciate that. Nothing really to pimp other than for you Sidaris fans out there, you might want to listen to episode 20 of the Badasses Boobs and Body Counts podcast, found at badassesboobsandbodycounts.com or BBNBC in the iTunes store. We do cover Hard Ticket to – listen to me. We cover Hard Ticket to Hawaii and Malibu Express. And we also have about a 30-minute interview with Andy Sidaris's wife, Arlene Sidaris. That's very intriguing, to say the least. So outside of that, I'm not going to plug anything.
Nice.
Neither one of you, that's for sure.
Okay, excellent. Good. Well, I've been plugged well and truly already today. And the doc doesn't go in for such hijinks this late in the evening.
He's missing out.
He's all stuffed full of lard and Kendall mint cake at this point in the evening. Isn't that right, Doc?
You know me so well.
He feasts. He's like he doesn't eat normally during the day. He's like one of those hoarder guys. He feasts very ravenously between
the
hours of...
He's like a leech or a mosquito.
He's like a feeder. Between like 10:30 and midnight, he just shoves it in and hoards it in his sacks. And then through the rest of the day, it's sort of dispelled about his body. And then he has to have lots of lard and Kendall mint cake the next
night. Did you say sacks?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Anyway, that's it for this week's show. I have been the Kick-Ass Kid.
I have been Dr. Action.
And I'm pretty sure I've been boring as all hell.
Nonsense.
And we'll be back again next week with our exclusive commentary for Lincoln.
Porn again?
No.
Well, what is that I see?
It's not porn. It's the badassboobsandbodycounts.com website. I happen to be looking at the reviews in the boobs section of the site.
They have a section of the site dedicated to boobs?
Yes, they do. They cover exploitation films in the boobs category, action films in the badass category, and horror in the body counts category.
What's that review you're reading now?
This is Andy Sidaris's Malibu Express. See at the bottom of the review there, they list how many boobs appear in the film. In this case, it's 22.
22 pairs. This is definitely a film I want to see.
You mean just for boobs?
Yeah, just for boobs.
What's that other option, BB and BC podcast?
That's the great thing about the site. If you're not into reading the reviews, you can listen to them via the web, on your mobile device, through iTunes, and even Stitcher Smart Radio. And they cover the same types of films, lesser known action, exploitation, and horror cinema. So yeah, to answer your question, I wasn't cruising porn.
That's too bad.
What's too bad?
That you weren't cruising for porn.
Why?
Because I was feeling kind of horny.
Ooh, wait. Get back here. Hey, get back here.
There are men, and then there are second unit podcast men. The podcast you've just been listening to is part of the Second Unit Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at 2upn.blogspot.com or on Facebook under the Second Unit Podcast Network. Our fantastic list of shows include Drunk on VHS, We Came from the Basement, No Budget Nightmares, The Aftermovie Diner, Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid, and Bloodbaths and Boomsticks. Take one podcast into the shower. Don't be a blithering idiot, Alan. We can give you the multiple podcast cleansing system all in one place and your hair deserves. Our programming is available across all platforms, from iTunes to Podomatic, TalkShoe to Stitcher, so you have absolutely no excuse. Listen today, and a free naked person of your choice will be shipped from Thailand to your door in a matter of weeks. The Second Unit Podcast Network, bringing you the action and leaving the boring stuff to the other guys. Bloody hell, who does a girl have to blow around here to get a decent beverage?